Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan.
And technical difficulties. Technical difficulties. Sorry. We've been at this too long.
We are doing our first live show tonight, and I'm talking right over Ryan. And we've had some technical difficulties for the last 45 minutes. But I think we've got everything sorted now, so we should be good to go.
Right. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Who cares? Let's just do it.
So, welcome, everyone, to our Mass Effect episode. It's been highly anticipated, at least by Ryan and I, and we've been trying not to talk about Mass Effect and totally failing for the last, 4 weeks because there's been so much Mass Effect 3 news. But tonight, this is a spoilerific, complete storylines from 1 and 2. Just, we are putting it all out there. So, if you don't want Mass Effect spoilers, if you haven't played 1 or 2, then you should probably just skip to the last, 2 minutes of the episode because, you wouldn't want to miss my outro.
I'm not going to sit on my ass just because the council doesn't want to do anything.
Exactly. Thank you, Commander Shepard. Sorry, I had to throw one in there.
Oh, I'm so excited for our soundboard. I'm feeling good about this episode. So we have less than...
Evidently so is underscore funk.
What?
I said evidently so is underscore funk. He's having a good time in the chat room.
Yeah, all by himself. Okay, so Mass Effect 3, Ryan, stop paying attention to the chat room. They'll suck you in. It's a black hole.
I am watching the Google Doc as we speak.
Excellent. So Mass Effect 3 comes out in less than 2 weeks. The first time I saw this in the show notes, I thought that said hours, and I was so excited, and then I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, if you went to space, maybe.
Oh, yeah. So also today, the first Mass Effect 3 Space Edition, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, where BioWare is actually launching Mass Effect 3 into space from various locations around the world, and then they are going to come crashing down, and someone will get a really cool copy of a really cool space game that's actually been to space. Well, the stratosphere anyways, because they're setting them up in weather balloons, but super cool.
What? I want space, not some stupid stratosphere. All the way.
I'm going to say that's close enough.
Here at Gamers Inn, we don't settle for close enough. We settle for damn right on space. Don't call it the final frontier for nothing, Jocelyn.
You can totally just take your copy and just launch it into space yourself and then hope it falls back down in your yard, because that's totally how it works, right? If you shoot it straight up, then it'll fall straight down.
Ah, yes. It's physics 101.
So, the first one was launched this morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or at least it was right around 11 o'clock. I don't know if that was the actual launch time, but that's when I noticed the tweet, so... IGN and G4 TV were racing to see who could find it first. So I haven't been tracking it. Ryan, have you had a chance to take a look?
No, but I want to say how stupid that is that Mass Effect, I saw that Mass Effect tweet. The actual account is saying that IGN and G4 TV are racing to find it. What the hell is the point in two media outlets that probably already have early copies of the game searching for this game? I thought this was for the fans, not for some stupid media grab. That just seems so wrong.
I had a similar kind of reaction, and I'm sure that if one of them finds it before a fan finds it, I'm sure that they'll just kind of give it away as a prize or have some kind of contest to win it or something. I can't imagine they'd actually keep it. That would be really
I don't
really
doubt
lame.
That they'll give it away. Yeah, it'll be given away. I don't know, maybe I'm just jealous that they
and actually I kind of
here.
I like the idea, because I'm thinking that if IGN or G4 TV find the copy and then they're going to give it away, I'll actually have a chance at it. Whereas right now, being in Ontario, I'm nowhere near San Francisco or even the one that they're going to launch out of New York. Good luck. So I think that
it sounds like it's designed. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, it sounds like it's designed to fall within the city limits, like where it's launched. So unless something goes horribly wrong, I think the one in San Francisco is going to land somewhere around San Francisco. I don't think there's a chance that there'll be a a northern wind pick it up and send it up here, unfortunately. Yeah.
We can always hope, but I don't think that wind works that way. I think most of the time it's down from the north.
But it's not that far away. Today I was actually looking at my calendar and realized that it's just over a week away that the game is coming out. And I read an interesting news article.
No way.
The collector's edition. What?
It's coming out in a week. Oh my god, well, it's almost March? Yeah. Oh my god, where's my year gone? This is ridiculous.
Year gone? It's only been 2 months. Anyways, I was reading about the collector's edition. I guess there was this big hubbub about some day one DLC being leaked onto Xbox Live. And that day one DLC is basically the mission plus character you get in the collector's edition.
Right.
Now, in past episodes, I had convinced myself that I didn't want the collector's edition, but that was before I realized that you would basically get the $20 difference made up by a free piece of DLC and also the Mass Effect 2 soundtrack.
Yeah. Now,
it basically pays for itself.
Yeah, but I'm ticked off about that whole DLC thing because I was reading a little bit about it, and it's like characters and missions that should be included in the main storyline. Like, not that your main storyline won't make sense without the DLC, but it's the same sort of idea as the Shadow Broker thing with Lyra in Mass Effect 2. It's like, she's a character from Mass Effect 1. The Shadow Broker is a character mentioned in Mass Effect 1. So why was that not part of the actual... Not to mention you go and talk to Lyra when you're, multiple times in Mass Effect 2. So why was that DLC? Why was that not included with the actual game? Like, such a money grab. Makes me angry.
Okay. I think you're pointing the fingers at the wrong thing. Now, the Shadow Broker DLC was the last piece, nearly the last piece of DLC, and the biggest to be released. Now, that was truly straight up downloadable content. Now, if you
Shadow Broker Lyra character, like that whole storyline and character, like that's all stuff from like the first, that's like main storyline material. Like, if you want, DLC should be completely, totally optional. It should have no achievements tied to it unless you download the DLC. And it should be completely outside of your main characters and your main storyline. As soon as you include a main character or a main storyline, then it should be included with the game. Games are already $60 friggin'. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, okay, but what I'm trying to say is, did you play the Zaid character pack in Mass Effect 2?
No, I did the Shadow Broker, and I did the whatever the thief one, Kasumi, I think.
Did you buy Mass Effect 2 new?
Yes.
Oh,
no.
Then you should have gotten it for... Okay.
No, I got it used.
Oh. Well, basically, when you bought it new, you got a code that would give you this free DLC. It was basically their online pass. So you got this $10 worth of DLC for free by buying the game new. And in this case, they're giving... It's not day one DLC. It's extra DLC as part of the collector's edition. Now, they did say that they've been working on this for 2 or 3 months. The news article does give a lot more information, and it's not douchey. It's just this extra content they wanted to give to the collector's edition people because it is extra content. It's not vital to the story. It's the same as Zaid or Kasumi. It's this one-shot character mission that you play. You get a new dude, and he's not as dynamic as the other characters, whereas the other characters you can have conversations with and involve your relationships. Whereas this extra character is literally just you can talk to him and they'll spit out one-liners. So do you remember Kasumi talking to her at all? She would just spit out one-liners in the ship, right?
Yeah.
So okay, that's kind of what it is. But basically, what I'm getting down to is, I've already set my alarm. I'm gonna go to on my phone. I'm gonna go to Walmart when it opens at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm gonna try to get the collector's edition. And if I don't, then I guess theoretically I can purchase the soundtrack and the day one DLC for the same cost of the collector's edition, except I don't get the art book, the poster, the Normandy dog, blah, blah, blah.
Is there a map?
No. You can't map
Well, then
galaxies.
I don't want it. That collector's edition is dead to me.
But all I'm saying is when you buy the collector's edition, you get all that extra stuff plus something that has actual value, like story mission, new character, and I'm a big fan of the Mass Effect music, so a soundtrack would be pretty bitchin'.
I
That's all
enjoy
I'm saying, really.
Mass Effect too. How much is the collector's edition?
It's $80. So like I said, it pays for yourself just based on the soundtrack and the
Right.
extra DLC.
Yeah, see, I might just go get my normal Mass Effect game, and because I don't really want all the other crap, especially since I'm moving soon. So, yeah, I think I'll probably just go get the regular Mass Effect 3 copy, and then if I want the DLC, then I'll download it. But if it's not main story, like I must have, I don't know, I can't remember where I read that it was main storyline type stuff. But anyways.
Well, I mean, some people are complaining, but the way BioWare explains it is basically that when they finish a game, it takes months to go through certification, disc printing, QA, stuff like that. So they have like 3 months to work where their whole team is just sitting there. So why not make them make some DLC? So
Right.
day one DLC, it's not like they said they put it perfectly. When they finish a game, it's not finished March 5th and pushed out the door for March 6th.
Well,
They have
obviously.
months where they can be working on other stuff, and day one DLC is easy. It takes about a week for cert if you push it in your Mass Effect, right? So they can probably push it through in days, and it goes through and it's available online. I mean, it is. Personally, I think they should have done what they did with Mass Effect 2, where you buy it new. And you get the code for the Cerberus network, and you basically get it free. I think
Yeah.
that makes more sense. Charge
That I would have been
$10.
totally on board with. Like now I'm pissed at BioWare, whereas if they just included it in with the game, I would have been like, "Oh yay, this is amazing. I love them." So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think what they did is they wanted to increase the value of the collector's edition, but they didn't want to limit the standard edition people to
Right.
not being able to play the DLC. That's it. They're doing their best. I think their heart is in the right place, but I think, yeah.
Yeah, their pockets.
Well, BioWare's got to make the money.
On the money topic, I have one quick thing that I want to say that is kind of in the same stream. And I'm sorry, guys, this has been a really ranty show so far. We're gonna get to the fun, I promise. But
No, we're
this
not.
one, I have one thing I have to say before we get going. I have Mass Effect on my computer, on my PC. I got it on Christmas sales from Steam for like $3 or something stupid. Like just way ridiculously cheap, right? I saw it in the store, like a used copy, for $5. So I'm like, I came home, I guess, not last night, the night before, and I was like, I'm really not enjoying playing on my PC. Like I'm not comfortable when I'm sitting there. I want to play on my controller. So I'm like, I'm just gonna go download it from Microsoft. Do you know how much the copy was for Mass Effect 1, the original Mass Effect from years ago? Guess how much it was on Microsoft on my Xbox Live.
They overcharge grossly for that stuff. I'm gonna guess probably like $30.
$30!
Oh
I was
yeah.
like, what the F? I literally, like, I found it, I navigated to it, and I was like, oh, this is great, it'll download, I'll be all ready, and, like, I'm
You
sorry,
don't
I'm
have
just
like a
laughing at the
used
chat
game
room. The
store?
chat room sucked me in. What the F,
You not have a you
ladies?
Do you not have a used game store you can go to? Like, even
No,
picked
see,
up at
that's the
EB?
problem, is that I don't have, like, my closest EB or GameStop is an hour and a half away. So I would have to go buy it new at Walmart, which is what we have in town, and I really like and I went there and I was going to get it when I realized it was $30 on friggin' Xbox Live, and they didn't have it because I live in the middle of nowhere in a cave with
Well, it's
bears.
an old game.
And so and yeah, exactly, it's an old game and they don't have a big stock anyway, so I was like they didn't even have Mass Effect 2. So I didn't really think I was going to be able to get it, but you got to give it a shot. But yeah, my closest things are like an hour and a half away. Even my closest future shop is an hour and a half away. So yeah, there's no way I was
All
getting
right.
it. So I was so ticked off because I was like, ugh, $30. Damn you, Microsoft. Ugh, made me angry.
So, So playing Mass Effect, it doesn't sound like it's happening
Oh,
before
I played
Mass Effect
Mass
3.
Effect.
Oh, I know you did. Yeah,
Oh.
yeah. You got pretty far.
I did, actually. I finished right before we started the show. I finished the first colony that was overrun by the Geth on Pharos, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to go take on the Ara. Saver, whatever. I don't know. I didn't get that far.
So I actually did get to do my first... Well, it wasn't really a mission in the Mako all-terrain vehicle thingy, but yeah, I definitely got to drive it, and awful. But anyways, yeah. So I got to... I went through all of the stuff to get myself made into a Spectre. I exposed Saren as the evil guy that he is, and then I cleared the first colony of the Geth with the crazy mind control plant thing.
Oh, okay. So you and we should mention it sounds like we're moving into our Mass Effect discussion now. So
yes.
You should mention that you
and it was
only
a seamless
played
transition until you had to point
until
it out.
I yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm here for. You played a little bit of Mass Effect. Now, this is the first time you've played Mass Effect after beating Mass Effect 2.
Yes, I played Mass Effect 2 the whole way through, and then I went back to play Mass Effect because when I was at the store with both 1 and 2 in my hands, and I said to the guy at EB, I was like, do I really need to play the first one? Can I just jump into the second one? Like, is there a lot of story here? Am I going to be lost? And he was like, no, you can totally just jump right into 2. It's easy. There's a tutorial at the beginning. I'm like, yeah, I didn't ask if the game was easy. I know how to push buttons. Like, ugh, EB people are just a whole other rant. But anyway.
I say, never listen to EB people.
But yeah, so they, yeah, so anyways, my, EB person told me that I didn't need to get the Mass Effect, that I could just go right into 2 and I would be fine. So I was like, okay, EB person, you do this for a living. I'm going to trust your judgment. And I was so lost story-wise in Mass Effect 2. I couldn't keep straight all the races. I couldn't keep straight all the, like, things that were going on and, like, why I was in the middle of this, like, big war thing and why there was, like, the military that hated me and then there was the whatchamacallit, Cerberus, who was like I hated for some reason but was working for, and like it was just so all over the place. I had no idea what was going on. And even just the little bit that I've played of Mass Effect, it's introduced me to the characters and the races, and like I can keep everything straight now. And I was just like, oh man, totally should have played 1 and then 2.
Yeah, but see, I think he was trying to protect you, because there is a huge difference between 1 and 2, and that is that 2 is much more refined. They get rid of a lot of the extra fluff that doesn't matter. Like in Mass Effect 1, I've been recently... I'm about 3 hours in. I played the crap out of that. I bought it used a couple years after it came out and just plowed through it. And one of the big differences is that you can, you know, you equip your character with, you know, armor and weapons and grenades, and you have that RPG, you know, character customization, like, okay, you know, min-maxing thing. Whereas in the second one, they totally get rid of that. And it's just, you get a new gun, the description kind of tells you what it does, kind of
right.
New.
Which I found kind of confusing, because I would read the descriptions and then I'm like, yeah, but I don't actually know which one is better than the other one. So I just kind of like, if it was at the bottom of the list, I assumed it was the best. Maybe I was backwards.
Are you talking about 2?
Yeah, in 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, in 2, I'm not sure if there was a kind of a sorting thing there, but I think... you basically just had to go by the description, because I had a bunch of DLC weapons from pre-ordering, and it was really tough to know what did what. But I think it was more about, well, you could definitely tell if it was doing more damage, you know, based on whether it killed the guy faster. But it was kind of just more on what you felt more comfortable with. Like sometimes shotguns would have a faster reload or a faster shot. That's it. Anyways, so you're right. In Mass Effect 2, it was more about cosmetics than min-maxing. You kind of just picked what you liked. But yeah, I don't know. That was a big difference between 1 and 2. And 1 had the Mako, obviously.
Oh my God,
a lot of people didn't like the Mako.
Yeah, it was awful. Like, and I mean, maybe it's different in a controller, but trying to do it with the keyboard and the mouse was, I almost stopped playing the game because it was so hard to control. It was like, as soon as I would tell it to go forward even a little bit, it was like, it was going so fast that it was flipping over. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. I had to just be like, tap, 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 tap to try to get it to go. Like, as soon as you try to hold down the key at all, it was just like out of control. I got it stuck on stuff and, you know, like it was so extreme in its movements. It was awful to try to play with. Most of the time I just tried to run everything over and get through the little like sky, what do you call them? Skyway as fast as possible on that one colony. Cause it wasn't actually like a mission where like you got into the Mako and then you had to drive along a thing. And then you got out and then you did some stuff and then you got back in and then you had to drive along another thing. And it was pretty much straight. There was a little bit of a curve, but pretty much straight just to kind of get used to it, I think. So you weren't solely in the Mako, but like, I am so glad. Cause when you first put that in the show notes, I was like, what the heck? A Mako mission. I kept thinking, first thing I think of when I see that is shark. I was like, do we go underwater? Is this the name for a submarine? And I got all excited, but no, it's some stupid all-terrain vehicle thing.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot about it. I didn't get that far in my current playthrough of Mass Effect. But from what
did
I do remember,
play,
it is.
Sorry? Did you play on the PC or did you play on the Xbox?
I was Xbox for all the games. Yeah, I didn't really own a PC of any sort of note when Mass Effect 1 was kind of creeping around. But the Mako is a lot easier with the controller, but it doesn't change the fact that the missions are kind of bland, where you like drive around and if we're being really negative, so just to move like kind of push forward from the Mako, like Mako, it was a bad part of a very good game, a very fun game. But I was reminded of why Mass Effect 1 really grabbed me, and this was in my current playthrough, where you just get the Normandy and you become the captain, and Joker asks, do you want to say anything to the crew? And you have the option
doing
this really heroic speech, or you can like totally say like, we're the best, we're going to kick everybody's ass. And I'm a renegade, but I still feel the need to be like honorable and heroic and be like, we're humanity and we're going to stand up. And it, you know.
So you gave it the sounds... Paragon humanity stand up for yourself kind of speech?
Because it's the better option.
Yeah. Oh my God. I gave that speech too. And as I was picking the options, I was like, yes, 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 this is fantastic.
And
it
see,
was
that's
so
why...
like, it gave me goosebumps. It's, I think, the
exactly.
first thing that, that FemShep has actually said that has gotten me excited, because I'm not a huge fan of her voice and I always play female characters. So I hadn't actually heard the male Shepherd voice until, the VTW interview with him, and I heard him talking and I was like, oh, his voice sounds kind of cool. And then you started playing the sound bites of him and I was like, oh my God, that's what Commander Shepard's supposed to sound like. The chick sounds so like wimpy and like, oh, you guys don't want to do that, okay, like, no, you're supposed to be Commander fucking Shepard, step it up. So I don't like the female Shepard. But then when she gave that speech, I was like, ah, there she is.
Yeah. She's, well, it, like, it doesn't matter who the voice actor is, but I think it's the writing and, like, the delivery of both the voice actors that I've seen, like, it's moments like that that make you think, yeah, this game's kick-ass. Like, the first one was really like, okay, trudge through this combat, trudge through this Mako mission, blah, 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 get through it. Because I know, like, I'm really looking forward to, you know, confronting A or confronting B. Like, one of the huge things in Mass Effect 1, and Val kind of touches on this in her email, is that it's one of the first games that I played that kind of presents this, it's decision-making. Like, I know RPGs have had decisions that affect the story and the future games before, but it was the first one that I really played and got into, and there's one mission in particular, and this is a spoiler. I think she mentioned it was Vermeer. Did you get that far?
I didn't get that far. I really, really wanted to, but the boss made me go to bed last night, so I didn't get to play.
That's too bad. I remember parts of it, but I mean, it was a while ago. But, you know, Val brings up a good point. Like, the whole tension of the mission, from facing off against Rex to making the final decision of who gets to live or die at the end of the mission, it just, it really shows you how different and awesome a game Mass Effect is. And, like, I chose to kill Rex. And it was more just a, can I do this? Can I really do this? Yeah, I'm going to do it and see what happens. And you definitely just point your shotgun at him and kill him. Because I think what's happening is he gets really angry at something that Ashley says, and he charges her in a Krogan, like, blood charge, and he's like, you can't get, you can't, he's done. He's either going to kill her, or, you know, or you kill him, or she kills her, or he kills her, rather. And I just,
so
I was like, all right.
Between them, pretty much.
Yeah, and
Rex,
I made my decision, shot
one,
him,
eh?
Dead. That is true, but only if he lives through the first one. So for me, when I play Mass Effect 3 and bring my save in, Rex will be dead.
Caden
will
too.
Be dead. Yeah. You also, like, at the very end of the mission, you only have time to save one. One has to stay back and kind of hold off the forces, and I chose Caden. Val had chose Ashley because she didn't like – she's the way she puts it, she didn't really like Ashley because – she's racist towards aliens. And well, she says she always saves Caden because I think she really likes Caden's voice actor.
Oh, and yeah, she has Val has a thing for Caden.
Yes, I gathered that. But yeah, I let Caden die, and
so
it didn't really bother me.
I have a question here, because Busy Zombie Lord in the chat room has said, we have a chat room. I don't know if we mentioned that when I said we were doing a live episode, but we have a chat room. And so Busy Zombie Lord says, wow, Ashley's the only person who's actually died in my game. So is this one of the things, because I know in Mass Effect 2, if there was a confrontation between your crew members, if you had a high enough either Renegade or Paragon score, you could mediate the conflict, you know, one way or another. So
yeah.
Is that what happened with you? Like, were you just not able to talk Rex down because you didn't have a high enough score? Or was it kind of like that was just what was supposed to happen?
I think you're right in assuming that I just didn't have a strong enough relationship with Rex.
Right.
Because there's one thing in the second game that I knew to do right off the bat was to talk. After every mission, visit every character and have the conversation until they say, that's enough talking for now, let's get back to work, you know? So in this game,
or if they start hitting on you.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you choose that option, and then they're like, oh, hey, I didn't know you felt like that. I'm like, no, back up. I don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, unintentional please. Hitting on you. Didn't mean to do that.
It's really easy to do that in BioWare games, but I think they've added something really great lately, especially in Dragon Age 2, where when you mouse over the option, it shows you the icon. But yeah, oh, okay, so Busy Zombie Lord says, at one point in Mass Effect 1, someone needs to wait with the bomb. Okay. So he left Ashley, chose Caden. He didn't like her because, okay, well, you know, maybe...
Honestly, she reminds me a lot of Miranda. Like, they have the same sort of, like, everyone's always wrong except for me. I don't like anyone but humans. I know everything. Just that whole attitude. Her, like, because I've only played with her, like, I don't take her along on missions because she really bugs me too. But, yeah, I find the whole attitude is almost exactly the same. And I've only had, I think I had her, like, when you first get her is the only time I've actually played with her. But every single time she opened her mouth, like, as soon as I had the option to leave her behind, I did. Because she was just, like, so annoying. And, like, we'd be running through, like, the Citadel, which is full of all these aliens, and she'd, like, make these, like, offhanded comments about, like, either how humans are better or, like, ew, look at that. What's that? Like, these weird comments. I was like, you can't say that. That's an ambassador.
It's like taking your racist grandmother to the mall.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I can't take her anywhere.
Okay, so no one liked Ashley in the games.
Except you.
That's yeah. I just kept her around, I guess. I don't know why. I just made a decision.
You know why.
What was my reasoning in the last episode? Something about
you wanted to mate with someone who wasn't an alien.
But see, that's funny. When it came to our to the relationships in the game, in the first one, I romanced Liara. And then in the second one, I romanced Tali, basically because I wanted to see if you could see her helmet or her face under the helmet, but you never did get that. So it was kind of like, damn it.
I haven't had one yet in Mass Effect 1. I haven't gotten that far. But in Mass Effect 2, I chose Thane, the assassin, the lizard guy. So, yeah. I totally thought you were going to make fun of me there, dude. What's wrong with you?
Sorry. I was back into the chat room. Thane.
Fuck!
I got into Thane. Sorry. I'm just reading these comments.
He had a great story. Yeah, he did. Like,
something
actually,
about
like,
his
once,
son, right?
Yeah, once you actually started talking to him, he had a really, really good story. And I can't remember all of it now, but it had to do with, like, his son. And he was, like, married before, and he's an assassin. So, like, he left them for some reason, and then basically someone came and killed them for, his son was an assassin, too.
Oh.
I think it might have just been his wife. Dead? Somebody went and killed his wife in retribution for one of his jobs that he'd done. And so he was this very, like, sad kind of character. And he only had a little while to live or something. So, you know, that was attractive to me. Because I was like, oh, fine, I'll just have my fun and then I can leave. Huzzah! By leave, I mean you're going to die.
I remember that, yeah. So I guess maybe we'll see him in the third one, do you think?
Yeah,
I don't think BioWare has kind of said anything about that. He's in the trailer?
I'm pretty sure I saw him in at least one trailer.
Oh, maybe one of the, like...
Unless maybe yeah, it wasn't not... him. Or no, I think I read somewhere in a press release that he's back, but they haven't released what kind of a role he'll have. So he might not be a main character that you take with you.
So, like, I think the only confirmed...
Yeah, so, sorry, Busy Zombie Lord says all of them are back, but not all of them will be playable, so...
Yeah. So similar to how the second game worked, like, basically, what they have to do is they kind of have to mix it up. So, in the first game, the possible characters that can die are Rex and Cade
Ashley
and Ashley. Or Ashley. So, in the second game, you... met up with Caden or Ashley, depending on who you saved, on a certain planet. Rex only showed up if he didn't die, he would be the king or something of one of the Krogan levels.
Yes.
And then in the third one, judging by the trailers, it looks like the Dream Team is back, right? Like, there's no from the second one in your team from what I've seen, but confirmed, like, actual confirmed players are, like, Liara and Garrus. I saw Garrus in
back.
There.
Yeah, Garrus is back.
Which is great. I'm glad I saved his ass.
And
obviously Ashley or Caden are.
In my game it was Caden. I met up with Caden, which might just be because I didn't import a Mass Effect 1 character. So it's possible that I got Caden because I played female Shepard. That maybe if I'd played a male Shepard character, then Ashley would have been the one that showed up, because I don't think that there was ever a time where they asked you, unless it was unless it was like right at the very beginning when you're making your character, because I know in the Mass Effect 3 demo it asked something about, like, you've obviously been in battle before, have you experienced any losses, and then you can pick, like, yes, you know, Caden or Ashley, or I've had too many to count, which I thought was funny. And then because in the demo you run into, well, I said that Ashley died, so I ran into Caden in the demo. On the, right at the beginning.
It would be interesting to try it and say basically that everybody possible died. Because, like, in the third one, you run into Morden, the scientist from the second game. So, and he's able to, basically all your companions in the second game are able to die. So, BioWare kind of has to have, like, this... you know, this weird switch. So, like, Garrus, for example, we know he's a player, or at least in that one mission. So if he died in the second one, obviously some other character of similar class takes his place.
Yeah,
right?
I wonder if it would be another one from the same race, like if they would just introduce a new character, or if it would be like somebody else from the existing characters that you've already met and already know would just step up and do it. I don't know. But that would be interesting. Cause I want to see what happens, because I don't know if Miranda, well, as Busy Zombie Lord said, they're all going to be back. So I'd like to see where Miranda's supposed to be and where she won't be, because she died. Thank God. Sorry. I was a little harsh.
I will assume. Yeah, you don't like Miranda. We get it. I would think Miranda would show up, you know, whenever you... I have a feeling she's going to be on Cerberus's side in this whole conflict, because she was very pro-Cerberus.
Well, and that's
so I think that's where we'll see
her. The problem with me and her in Mass Effect 2 is that she and... right after I did the mission where I got Jack, who was the crazy biotic chick with the shaved head. Right after I saved her from wherever she was, her prison world thingy, she came on the ship and had a confrontation with Miranda and was basically saying Cerberus funded all the experimentation on me and blah, 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 blah. And then Miranda was like, well, they obviously did it for a good reason or whatever. And so they had this big confrontation. And then I sided with Jack because I was like, well, that chick's crazy, so I don't want her on my bad side. So I sided with her, and then Miranda wouldn't talk to me for the rest of the game. And that happened, like, I literally did, like, Miranda's loyalty mission and then went and picked up Jack. And it was like, that was what I did at the beginning of the game. So the entire game, she just wouldn't talk to me, except she'd make these, like, bitchy, like, I'm not cleaning up your messes comments. And I was like, dude, come on! Like, just stop it!
Like, my guys... See, the cool thing about the ending of Mass Effect 2 is that you have... Okay, I went through the painstakingly awful task of doing everybody's loyalty mission, upgrading everything, mining the shit out of planets, and... you know, when I went into the final battle, everybody was upgraded. My ship was upgraded. All my guys were loyal to me. But that being said, you mentioned a specific scene when Jack and Miranda kind of went at it and you had to pick a side. Mm-hmm. So I, at this point, I had already done everybody's loyalty mission. So I had to pick a side.
Yeah.
I picked Miranda because I find Jack to be weird and I don't like her. And she frankly scares me a little bit. So now
That's why I took her side.
Okay. Well, yeah, good point. I was playing the DLC and I went down to visit all my characters, and they were all giving me the hey, we did it speech. And I'm like, "Yep, we did it. Now we're just floating around in space for 2 years waiting for the next game." but I went down to talk to Jack and she just goes, "Fuck off." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." Evidently someone woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
That's fantastic.
So she's not happy with me. But she survived, and basically I knew in the final mission, whenever I was given the choice, do you send Jack or do you send somebody else? Well, I know Jack hates my friggin' guts, so I don't send her. I'm like, okay, Jack, I know you're pissed, so you just do the bare minimum. We're going to get through this, and we'll work it out in the third game, okay?
Right.
So that's – I mean, I thought that was very interesting how
– Yeah, no, I'm trying to think,
yeah.
Because on my final mission – I feel like I pretty much had to take everybody with me because I had to take Miranda. I feel like I didn't have a choice to leave her behind because I knew she was going to die because she wasn't loyal.
Yeah. I mean, I did the last mission, what would have been 2 years ago at this point. So from what I recall, you are given specific options. Like, okay, I think the first option is you split the team up. One goes to the front door to kind of hold everybody off, and you go around to open the door.
Right.
And you can pick specific teams, and then there's a section where, like, you need someone with biotic powers to hold a shield.
Yeah,
I picked Jack because she wasn't loyal, and
right.
So I think, have options.
Yeah, you always have – but I mean, like, everybody has to go with you on the mission. You know, like, everybody leaves the ship and comes onto the planet with you is what I'm saying. So basically, yeah, I did the same thing. I always – I – gave the jobs, the specific jobs that those people had to do, to other people who were loyal to me. And then, so Miranda was just the one who was, like, supposed to watch my back. So basically I just did all the combat fighting and I had somebody else doing the special task. And then, you know, Miranda just followed me around like a dog. And then, but then in the final battle, like in the cutscene part, even like, cause she was still alive when it went to the final cutscene. And then in the final cutscene, it was basically just like, you see her, like you're kind of like, everybody's running to the ship. And then she just, like, doesn't make it in time. Because then it's, like, the ship is, like, going away. And then you just see her, like, laying there dead, basically. And I don't even think... Actually, no, you don't even see it then. I think it's, like, Shepard is giving, like, a speech. And she's saying, like, we suffered some losses. And then it's, like... And then it cuts to Miranda just, like, laying dead on the ground. Like, we didn't even go pick her up. Like, we just left her.
See... And that's the interesting – it sounds like you didn't care what happened to her. So there was no tension with her. But do you have any characters in your team that you were like, man, I better pick this right or I'm going to lose this person? And you felt that tension, did you?
I really didn't want to lose Tally. I got really attached to her. So I was like – I was really, really careful with her. And I don't know why. I felt so bad about – the way that she was just treated in general, like her whole story, there's a lot of really good story. So like yes. How they were like disowning her and like saying she was a traitor and all this kind of stuff. And then when she changes her name to match your ship name and stuff, like I felt a whole lot of loyalty with her and I really liked her. So I didn't want her to die. So I was careful with her, but.
So would you say you were close with Tally then?
Yes, I was close with Tally.
It sounds like you're suggesting something, Tally.
What could I possibly be suggesting? I mean, a young woman gets rescued by a dash...
Okay.
No, keep it going. Oh, he should have let him play, dude. There's about to be a
dashing commander who lets her join his crew and then goes off to save the galaxy? How could she possibly develop any kind of interest in him?
You have nothing to be embarrassed about, Tally. I feel the same way about you.
Really?
Aww.
I didn't... You never... Well, good. Anyway, I should get back to work, but thanks for coming by and talking.
This time, stay dead.
Yeah, okay, so, I mean, you mentioned that you did, basically when I was doing it, I was attached to a few characters, like Tally for one, I didn't want her to die, and Morden, absolutely loved Morden, and... thing about Morden is if you talk to him enough in this one scene, he'll like sing a song. Did you get that far?
Yes.
That was amazing.
I talked to all of them enough to get them up to the point where they were like, are you hitting on me? And I'm like, no.
See, that unfortunately is not in here in my soundboard. The Solarian song. It's too bad. But... Yeah, like when I was doing that mission, A, I wanted to get the achievement for nobody dying. But B, I did have some characters that I didn't want to die. And I found when I was doing the mission, like it was really tense. And it was one of the only games that I played where I was actually seriously worried that some of my companions were going to die. And that my actions, if I didn't play this game well enough, actual consequences would be had. Because who cares if it's a game where, you know, you have the option of beating the game with all your people or a few, some die. But those actions carry over into the next game.
Well,
so there
exactly.
is actually, I like, think, future impact.
Yeah, that was such a good idea to carry through the characters because it's so story-heavy. And I'm a big story gamer. Like, I will put something aside if it doesn't have a good story. So the fact that the story, not only like the storyline carries through, but your decisions and your crew carry through with you, I think is awesome. It's one of the things that makes this franchise so great.
Exactly. And the characters, like the writing, but not, and also the voice actors, like really back it up. And one of the coolest things that kept happening in Mass Effect 2, and you mentioned it right there, but every time you met a character from the first game, they'd be like, Shepard, I thought you were dead. And it'd be like this reunion, and you could either be like, I'm not dead, bitch. Or you could be like, yeah, I'm back. What's up? You know, you could be really bad about it, right? But yeah. You had the option to, like, be really cold about returning after from the dead, basically. Or you could be, hey, it's good to be back. We should grab a beer. You know, you have that option to reminisce with your characters, or you could totally like when you ran into either Ashley or Caden on the planet, they would be very cold to you. Like Ashley in my game was someone that I spent a lot of time with in the first game, you know, especially near the start when you only have a few characters. And she was like, you were dead. I moved on and now you're back and you're really creeping me out. And you do end up getting like a communication from them later saying, and it does, it has more of an impact if you actually romance that character.
Right.
I know Val.
Which we all know you did.
No, I did not romance Ashley. I romanced Liara.
Right.
which actually happens to be like the canon relationship in the game, which you, before I move on, actually, I'll say that Vala had stated that she actually romanced Caden, and then when she went back to the planet, he was really cold to her, and he said that he basically didn't blame him for the way he acted because you've been missing for 2 years, right? And and I believe you do get a communication from that character before you go on your suicide mission saying basically like, sorry, I was so cold. You know, you've been gone for 2 years. How did you expect me to react? You know, so I thought that was really interesting. But the cool part, what was I? Oh, yeah, canon. BioWare has stated that in canon, like canon is like you romance Liara, you know, the opposite. The same sex character dies in your choice. That's the canon. So if you play male Shepherd,
Caden dies.
Caden dies. Exactly. So, canon is you romance Liara, and then so I romance Liara. So when you do the Shadow Broker, or when you meet her in Mass Effect 2, she's like, "Oh, you're back. Cool. We should maybe talk." And then in Shadow Broker, like, this is after the game is beaten. So the DLC knew that I had romanced Tali. So when Liara's like all upset and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm a Paragon. So I'm like, I hit the hug button, right? And she's like,
I hit the hug button.
She gets all upset at me, right? Because she's like, you were back for like a week and then you were trying to get under Tali's helmet. I'm like, I'm not like that. And it was really cool that like the DLC knew that, so you can kind of see that BioWare is setting it up that like in the third game it's going to be really well. You get that from the long version CG trailer that the third one's going to be set up as this like shit is gone to hell and you are going to have to make some tough decisions, and you're also going to have a chance to complete your relationship that you started 5 years ago in Mass Effect 1. And I think that's the coolest part about this series.
So the whole relationship thing and romancing Liara and everything else kind of brought up this one topic, the whole Shepherd dying thing in the, when the Normandy crashes or whatever at the beginning of Mass Effect 2. Like, I guess because I didn't play Mass Effect 1 before I played 2, so I didn't understand that there was this whole building your character thing and reconstructing your character and stuff. But I was just like, what the heck is this? The main character is dead at the beginning of the game, and then now you're bringing her back to life? That seems stupid and unnecessary. Like,
yeah.
And still, there must have been some way that they could have done it without killing her, because I thought that was a little bit extreme and unnecessary.
I think it's an interesting way to explain why your character changes from one game to the next, but it's
but what if you imported really weird... your character?
Well, if you import, I imported my character and it still gave me the option to change him. So it gives you that option, but I think it gives the developers a chance to kind of give some story, to, you know, expand the story 2 years, have Shepard go missing for 2 years, and then see how that affects the characters. But it also gives the conflict a chance to evolve without basically Shepard is the hero, right? And it gives the conflict between the Reapers and the Council and everybody to kind of just keep going at it without Shepard solving the issue, because he's dead.
Right.
And it gives Cerberus a chance to kind of, I don't know.
Gives them a reason for being there, really. And for you to be aligned, yeah. Aligned with them. Jocelyn does right. Podcasting.
You're very right in the sense that they could have had practically the exact same story without Shepard dying, but I think
it makes more sense though. Like now that you've actually like explained it, because I didn't play like I've said a billion times now, I didn't play Mass Effect 1, so I kind of just walked into this already half done type story and died, and I was just like, well, this is silly. So I think if I'd played Mass Effect 1 like you did and I had a little bit more context and understanding of the universe and everything else that was going on around Shepard, it would have been better, I think. So, which, I mean, obviously, they have to assume that if you're playing a sequel or, you know, like Mass Effect 3 or whatever, they have to assume that you've played the other ones. They can't re-explain everything, you know, because then the people who have played the other titles and are loyal to the series then would get bored. So,
That's sort of not true because, like, people who owned it on PS3 didn't play the first one, theoretically, because it only came out on Xbox.
Oh, really?
So when Mass Effect 2 came out on PS3, there was this 5-minute interactive cutscene that basically retold the Mass Effect 1 story and gave you the option to decide, okay, do you save this person? Do you kill this person? Do you... keep the research. I'm just trying to remember different things and using different examples. Mm-hmm. But mainly, you get to choose: does Caden or Ashley die? Does Rex die? You know, you make that all on the comic. And yes, you do. You do get the comic on the 360 as well. If you choose not to play Mass Effect 1, you can make those decisions through the comic. But it's like a $50 download, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. So you could do that, but I mean, it didn't come out until like a year and a half after.
Oh, well, yeah, but I got Mass Effect 2 in the summer, so.
Oh well, you
like this?
Yeah, you probably
this most recent past summer, 6 months ago type thing. Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. I wish I'd known that. Cause, well, whatever. I don't really like my female Shepard character. She's kind of a wuss, so. I was kind of hoping that I would be able to go all the way through Mass Effect, all the way through Mass Effect 2, and like make a new character that carried through all those decisions. I was kind of hoping that I would get to do that before Mass Effect 3 came out so that I actually had a character that I liked to take with me into 3. Now that I'm so into the series, but I don't know, I'm running out of time and Microsoft is stupid expensive. Wait, I'm going home this weekend. Oh, I can totally go to EB. Yes.
There you go. EB trip.
Maniacal laugh.
Exactly. You mentioned, you know, Shepard dying at the start of Mass Effect 2. Now, you did have the ability BioWare built into the game the ability for your character to die at the end of Mass Effect 2 as well. So your character, Shepard, could die at the end of 2, and that's the end of his story. And I think for 3, that means that in 3, you basically just, you start as if your character is dead, but you're starting a new Shepard story.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No. but
okay.
When I played the demo, the entire story didn't make sense to me. Because...
Really?
Well... When I, like, we've talked about, I think, on our last Gamerton episode, we talked about how at the end of my game, I defeated the big Reaper thingy. Then I went back to Cerberus, and Cerberus is like, are we going to salvage this, or are we going to destroy it? Because it's made out of people. And I was like, well, the people are already dead, and these things are coming for us, and they're going to exterminate all life, like not just humans, but they're coming to get rid of all biotic life. So I said, use them. Use the research. So I was like on Cerberus's good side and everything was cool with them. And I was like, use your resources, do your research, help us defeat this crazy big threat. And then in the Mass Effect 3 demo, all of a sudden I'm back with the military. Cerberus is trying to shoot me in the face. I have no idea what's happened. Like, what's going on?
Like, there is time difference between Mass Effect 2 and 3, just like there was time difference between 1 and 2. And there is the, and again, with the demo, I'm sure they cut out a lot of stuff that kind of explains the story just for to get you in there and get started. I'll give BioWare the benefit of the doubt on that one. But you are right. You kind of don't know what's going on. They kind of drop you in and say, experience the game, experience a bit of the story. Don't really worry about where you are. Just have fun. But you're right. It is kind of confusing with your ending or with mine. But basically, if your Shepard died in 2, your story for the first two games is over.
Right.
And you just have to start a new story in Mass Effect 3 and kind of pick your decision. So basically the same as what you did in the demo when you said, a few people died, I'm from Earth, I was an orphan, blah, blah, blah.
So if your Shepard dies, why is your new character called Shepard as well?
Well, okay, it's not it's a new story. It's not a continuation. It's just there's no best way to explain it.
Cuz it doesn't make any sense. You can't explain something that doesn't make sense.
It makes sense cuz it's like it's a new story. It's like think of it as a reboot. That's the best way to explain it. It's a reboot. Mm.
It works way better as a continuation than a reboot. In my humble opinion.
But okay,
it doesn't need
sure.
to be rebooted. It's not super old or whatever. It doesn't need to be redone.
No. If Shepard dies, you can't continue the story because the main character is Shepard. Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what
you're saying.
So you can't. But...
You just don't agree.
I don't understand how they would build that option into the game.
Because, I don't know, it built
most
tension.
Most games, when when you're playing through Mario and you fall down a friggin' hole in the ground, you die and you start the level over. Like, you can't keep playing without Mario. So why can you keep playing this without Shepard? It doesn't make sense.
You can't, because the story ends when Shepard dies and you start a new story in 3.
But it's the same story! The character's name is even the same.
Think of it as a line, okay? When Shepard dies, that line ends, but there are thousands of other lines. Think, we're playing the same game, we're playing the same story, but different shit happened. Doesn't mean it's the same world. Think of it as parallel universes. How's that sound? Is that better?
No.
Yeah, we should just move on from that.
Yeah, I'm
none of us are getting it. You know, it's just like... It's like normal podcast. She's never going to agree. Yes, so Mass Effect.
Is there anything else that we need to cut? Is there anything else about Mass Effect 3 that you want to cover before we go on to listener feedback?
For Mass Effect 3, I'm just really looking forward to it. I want to see how the story ends. I want to see... where the characters go, and BioWare has stated that this is the final, this is it. This is the end of the Shepard story. Whether that means he walks off into the sunset, alien in hand.
He exploded saving the planet, or saving the universe.
Man, that trailer, that CG trailer, shit is fucked up.
I haven't watched it yet. I should have done it
before. You have so.
Chance to, but... the trailers
things
that I've
are
seen,
dying.
Yeah, it's, and I love that I love that about the series, but in general with my games and with movies, I like when they actually portray it a little bit more, like, I don't want to say realistically or accurately or whatever, but it's like your favorite characters are going to die because it's war. People die in war, and that's just what happens. So, no, your entire crew's probably not going to make it. You might not even make it. Like, it's, and, you know, if this big alien species with, like, way killer technology comes, they're going to kick our ass because we suck. And, you know, like, they don't tiptoe around it. It's like the beginning of Mass Effect 3 is, like, you're on Earth, and we get decimated in, like, 5 minutes. Like, they're called the Reapers for a reason. And it's awesome because then it, like, gives you this sense of like urgency and despair that you wouldn't get if it was just like, oh, and then everybody escaped and it was fine.
Now, that being said, someone made a cool comment on a podcast I was listening to recently, and they said in Mass Effect 2, there's a bunch of side quests, but, you know, things weren't quite as dire. Like, you were allowed to kind of, oh, go through the final portal when you're absolutely ready. There's no real time limit. But in this one, the start of the game is Earth being torn to shreds. Now, I know the Reapers are looking to destroy all life in the entire galaxy, so you got a bit of time. But they started with your planet, so you might want to put your ass in gear. That being said, is there going to be side missions in Mass Effect 3? It's like, oh, Earth is getting destroyed. Little girls with plastic spaceships are being killed and turned into Geth. Mind you, that one scene in the extended trailer where you see a human corpse transition into one of those weird human blue robot thingies, that is chilling shit. you definitely should watch that trailer.
I know. I feel like I'm missing out so much.
Well, you can still watch it after.
I know.
But, you know, is there going to be side missions where, like, oh, I need you to go collect this thing from this person who owes me this? I don't think there will be, but there's going to be a lot of missions where it's like, and I kind of gathered this from the demo that, like, okay, if you want us to come back to Earth and kill these Reapers with you, because they need the whole galaxy to band together. That's sort of the normal story about aliens invading. Like, well, it's easy for the aliens to invade because everybody on Earth hates each other. So there's no way they're going to scramble together to kind of send a dream team to kill the aliens. And, you know, so in this one, I think the main storyline is going to be, okay, we'll help you, but we can't leave until you do this for us. Which there's it keeps that sense of urgency, but it's also kind of like you are not on Earth killing Reapers. You're away trying to recruit these people.
Right.
And that's where that galactic readiness thing comes in. And I think the higher you have that number.
Right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Speaking of which, multiplayer, which will feed right into that number. Did you actually give it a shot?
No, I haven't given the multiplayer a shot yet.
Okay.
You said it was Horde mode, I was like, oh, I so don't want to play Horde mode. I want missions. I want multiplayer missions.
Yeah, it's basically a Horde mode, but I think it's Mass Effect combat. So if you are really – I kind of enjoy the combat in Mass Effect. So, you know, I don't think it'll hold my attention, but it could still be interesting.
I think and it will affect your readiness like, level. Well, I guess it depends. I don't necessarily have to have missions. I don't like Horde mode. But if it was like Call of Duty kind of thing, where it was like Team A versus Team B, or, you know, protect the home base flag tag or something, you know, something like that, I think I'd be okay with. That would be fine, too. But, Horde mode, I can't get behind. I don't like it. So.
And that's another thing. Busy Zombie Lord in the chat says, I really don't care about multiplayer. I sort of agree, especially in the sense that they say, you know, their tagline to get you to play multiplayer is, oh, it'll affect your readiness level. And I'm like, well, I want to play single player. That's what I'm excited about. Why would I – okay, my readiness level is only at 5,000. I need it at 7,000 before I do this mission. Well, I better go grind some multiplayer. You know, I want to do the story. Multiplayer is something I go to when I finish the story and
I'm finished
playing. Exactly.
Well, that's the other thing too, because like I've mentioned, I'm a big story person, so I don't want to interrupt my story partway through because I have to go play Horde mode. Like, what? No. So we'll have to see. I mean, and you know, it hasn't been released yet. It might actually be better than we're thinking it's going to be because, you know, the demo is never the full game, obviously, because then it wouldn't be a demo. So you never know. They might have some tricks up their sleeve / surprises under their belt or something. Wait, that's not right. Oh, dear.
In the demo, they had a lot of lockdown options, and you could play two maps and only play against human or Cerberus and only play in one system. So it looks like your galactic readiness will be based on the galaxy map, and then like, okay, in the Terminus system, my galactic readiness is at 80%, whereas in this system, it's only at 50. So I better grind that up. See, I don't know how it works. Nobody does. There's probably still an NDA on that crap, and we'll probably won't find out for a while. But yeah, and as Busy Zombie Lord says in the chat, multiplayer feels like it's there to not make you trade it in. Yeah. And it's also an incentive to buy it new, because you cannot play multiplayer unless you buy it new or buy the online pass. Yeah, it's tied to the online pass.
Mm.
So you have to enter a code when you buy the game, or else you will only be able to access multiplayer for like a week, I think. Or unless it's totally locked down, I'm not sure.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the continuation. I'm looking forward to a darker kind of Mass Effect. Not that making robots out of humans wasn't dark, but, you know, like a very, I like the doom and gloom and save the world from the apocalypse type stuff. So I'm really looking forward to this one. And I guess we'll have reviews for you in a few weeks, guys, which is exciting.
Yes. Just one more thing. You mentioned you're looking forward to playing a dark game. There was Mass Effect 2 and 1. I don't recall them being very dark. There was
a scene
in the demo in the first hour, what would appear to be the first hour of the game, that is darker than anything that happened in 2 or 1.
Yes.
I think. And it was the scene where the ships are taken off and you're like, yeah, they're going to make it. Then one goes down. It's like, oh shit, the kid's in the other one. They're going to make it. And then it goes down. And you're kind of like, fuck.
Yeah.
I better get my dream team together. Like, shit is real here.
And you kind of knew that, I mean, like, I didn't know when you first find the kid, when you're trying to escape and you're trying to convince the kid to come with you, I didn't realize that the kid wasn't going to make it. But as soon as they start cutting to, you know, like it cuts to Shepard and then it cuts to the kid and then it cuts to the Reaper thing. And, you know, as soon as they start doing the cutting and the, you know, Shepard's watching and, you know, hoping the kid's going to get away. You know the kid's not going to get away. You always hope that he will, but, you know, like, if it's going to be a good game and a good story and told properly, the kid is not going to get away because the Reapers don't care that it's a kid. So,
we'll see.
It was still heart-wrenching and gave me goosebumps, and I was like, oh, God. But, yeah, I was happy that they did it that way.
Yeah, I'm used to the normal Hollywood ending where, like, they build tension, and then everyone survives.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, it's really great to see BioWare, like, well, not pulling any – they're not holding back. Earth in the first hour of the game is getting torn to shreds. Like, when you get back, it's going to be a wasteland. Like, there won't be much left of humanity. You know, and you got to remember, Earth is just one planet. Mm-hmm. It's the most heavily populated planet of humans, but it is just one planet. We are spread across the galaxy. It's not like we're all on Earth, and then when Earth gets decimated, it's like Shepard and Ashley left. Or Shepard and Caden. That would be awful. I don't know how you're going to repopulate the Earth that way.
I was like, I totally didn't get that, because I was like, what do you mean? That would be fine, because my Shepard's a girl, so that made sense to me. Then I was like, oh yeah, I guess if you have a male Shepard and Caden, you can't really repopulate the Earth.
Well, yeah, maybe in the future. It is the future.
Anyone can die. Nice.
Exactly. Maybe Shepard gets it. Well, I was just about to spoil something. I won't spoil it. This is the Mass Effect spoilerific podcast, not the Game of Thrones spoilerific. I was about to be an asshole.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Yeah. No, I don't want to. But yeah, 12 days as of this recording, and it'll be out.
Yeah.
Excited. And I can't take the day off because I have a meeting that day, but...
Anyway. Yeah, I won't be taking the day off either, but the weekend after, it will be full of Mass Effect.
Yes.
So anyways, I think, we should move on to listener feedback. And I want to give a shout out to Val. Thank you so much for sending in your emails. It was really, really helped us to formulate our episode. And I mean, she sent in so much content. I don't even know. It was like if we'd printed it out, it would have been like a short story. It was like 5 pages of email about Mass Effect. We have a huge fan there. So thank you so much for sending that in. And so we're going to read a little part of it here. So Ryan, do you want to read this or do you want me to read it?
Sure, I can read it.
All right.
I was just going to say about Val's email, like when we were prepping the show notes, I read through it all and I kind of pulled segments out. So a lot of the times when we were talking, we might have been pulling points from your email. So if it sounds like we were stealing your ideas, that's what we did. but I thought I'd make up for it by reading your last bit of the email here straight out of the email. And you made a very valid point about looking forward to Mass Effect 3. What you're looking forward to in Mass Effect 3, most of all. A satisfying ending more than anything. The gameplay could be crap, and I know it's not because I played the demo, but... Oh, crap, I lost my fate. But all of that would mean nothing if the ending isn't truly worth the time and effort that we as gamers put into this game. I have read none of the spoilers for the game and barely watched the trailers. I want to be spoiler-free going in and enjoy the game to its fullest. Also, I wasn't sure if I was going to enjoy the multiplayer mode, but I was always jealous of my brother because he was always playing Halo or Call of Duty online when he came home to visit, and I always thought that looked cool. So I wanted to try it out as well. Well, now it's my turn. Still enjoy the show very much. Keep it up. I should be more active in the forums, but I don't get it. Are you guys part of a bigger forum and you have a section of it reserved for you? Couple points in there. First, we'll address the reason I left the forums bit in there. It seems a bit out of place, but I kept it in there because we are on the VTW forums, and it's on my to-do list to add a link to the website where you see our Twitter badges and Facebook. So I will be adding a forums badge there. So for people who are, because we don't have the link anywhere, they kind of have to search for it. So.
Oh, we don't. Oh, fix that. No, it's in the show notes a couple of times.
Oh, well, sorry. It's in the show notes, but
you should all be reading my show notes. They are extensive.
Yes. We do read your show notes. Just
No one reads my show notes.
I'm sorry. We do read your show notes, but I am planning to put a badge on there as well, which will help.
Lou says he reads them. Thanks, Lou.
Thanks, Lou. I read them as well. It's good to actually go back and see some of the links to stuff we talked about, which is always helpful, like videos and stuff. But she also mentions a point here, a satisfying ending, and that we've invested, I'd say, maybe 80 hours at this point into this series. Yeah. I know I have in terms of 1 and 2. It'd be really tough, I think, at this point for BioWare to like fall flat on its face and not deliver a satisfying ending. I think they've proven themselves. So I'd be very surprised if they screwed it up.
I think it's going to be great. I don't know. I'm not worried.
I don't mean to sound like a fanboy, but I'm just basing this statement on fact that they've delivered 2 great games and they will definitely deliver in the third.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for us, right?
Ooh, iTunes reviews. You guys should leave them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need some iTunes reviews. We haven't had any in a while, and I think our people in our chat room, BusyZombieLord and _Funk, have done just that. But
Chad hasn't.
Chad hasn't, but Chad left.
See?
Lou says he wishes he could leave more. Thanks, Lou.
Yeah, thanks, Lou.
But, so if you guys listening out there in the big wide world of the web want to go leave us an iTunes review, we would very much appreciate it. We would love to hear your feedback, so you can leave us an iTunes review or you can email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com, which is currently where we are streaming live. We also have a live chat room, and that is www.gamersinpodcast.com/live. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. Also, we are at facebook.com/TheGamersInn, and you can find us on Google+. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic online at www.starcrossedonline.com. And he posts a new comic every Monday, so go check him out. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn this week, guys, and remember to tune in next week. And P.S., I tried World of Warcraft.
Uh-oh. I didn't see that when you added it into the show notes. So, you know, a full episode of Mass Effect talk, and, you know, usually when I talk about something for, like, 2-3 hours straight, I get to thinking, and I just thought of an awesome ending for Mass Effect 3. You know, what should happen is near the end, you know, all appears lost, you know, your characters are dead, and you're just, like, spitting blood and running all over the place, and then all of a sudden a portal opens up, and then out of it steps Fem Shep. Now, only if you're playing Male Shep. If you're Male Shep, Fem Shep steps out of the portal, if you know, and vice versa. You know, the two team up and save Earth, defeating the Reapers once and for all. But I should mention, this idea probably already exists as, like, some kind of sort of fan fiction, but I didn't want to risk Googling it and reading something about them hooking up. That would kind of be weird. Good night!
Roxanne! Okay, chat room.
I don't have to turn on the red light.
No one wants to admit it, but humanity is under attack.
Thank you, Martin Sheen.
No, I am not. There's no pills and booze. Fantastical.
If anybody has any audio issues, don't tell us, because we...
Nope. We're done with tech issues for tonight.
Yeah, we'll just re-record the episode if we need to.
Yeah, no big deal.
You said the collectors had no art. I had no idea you cared about that kind of thing.
Personal interest negligible. Sang a little. Multi-species productions for cultural exploration. Gilbert and Sullivan always had me do the patter songs. But not about me. Cultural artistic expression reflects philosophical evolution, interest in growth, perspective, observation, interpretation. Suspect you won't see any art in collector base. Culturally dead. Tools for Reapers. Worse than the Geth.
I'm sorry. I know that was important, but you performed Gilbert and Sullivan?
I am the very model of a scientist Salarian. I've studied species Turian, Asari, and Batarian. I'm quite good at genetics as a subset of biology because I am an expert which I know as a tautology. My xenoscience studies range from urban to agrarian. I am the very model of a scientist Salarian.
That's fantastic.